This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Who, I wonder, remembers this next song? A golden oldie which many of us must have at some time or other sung in school assemblies or in some church service. It's called Give Me Oil in My Lamp. That jazzed-up version of Give Me Oil in My Lamp was sung by Nathan Jess and his band. It reflects the first part of our gospel reading today, which invites us all to be at the ready and prepared for service to God, to be lit up with his word and fired up for action. Being prepared for the return of Jesus to earth one day and being ready is a constant theme in the New Testament. Let's listen to our reading from Luke 12, 35 to 40. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. A famous song on the theme of making sure we're ready for Christ's return was written by Larry Norman in the 60s. It's called I Wish We'd All Been Ready, and it's sung here by Jordan Sparks.
Life was filled with guns and war, and all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all
There are those who think a song like that with such a theme is horrific, obviously written to scare people into some sort of submission to faith. If they're right, they've nothing to worry about. However, Matthew and Luke both write about Christ's return, so what if these words really are a genuine plea for us to live our lives in such a way that's pleasing to God before Christ's return? When we do wrong, there are nearly always consequences to pay. By our wrongdoing, we can bring down catastrophe upon ourselves and upon those we love. But what if we were to read this as a warning to us as a nation rather than to us as individuals? How do we fare then? Are the fires of love burning, or are we divided and intolerant? Do we make good moral decisions? Are our ways just or unjust and immoral? Do our exports build up or tear down and destroy, I think particularly of arms sales? Do we consider with compassion the needs of the poor, the disadvantaged, the exile and the stranger? Or do we look upon these with disdain and fear, even hatred? What consequences then? Unless, of course, as a nation, we turn ourselves round. It says in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 4, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land." Here's a song on that theme, "If My People."
When the heavens do not open, and there is no more rain, when locust hordes devour the land, whenever there's a plague, whenever there's a plague, the Lord says, if my people, all those called by my name, will pray in all humility, repent and seek my face, repent and seek my face, then I will hear them from heaven where I stand, and I'll forgive their wickedness, and I will heal their land, and I will heal their land. My eyes they will be opened, my ears will hear their prayers, my temple is a holy place, my eyes and heart are there, my eyes and heart are.
It says here in our reading that the King will provide for us and serve us and meet our every need when he finds us ready at any time to serve his purposes. He will wait upon us. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, advises us as God's people to have good sense and not to act like fools. In chapter 5 he writes, "These are evil times, so make every minute count. Don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do." Time is precious, and today's reading bids us be loving and generous and not selfish, to be more aware of the needs of others. So is this what it means by being prepared and ready? Prepared in what way? I often wondered what "be prepared" meant when I was in the Girl Guides. Prepared for what, I used to ask myself, and how? I suppose it means to be ready for anything that comes our way. It's incumbent for us to make right use of our time on earth. We only get one stab at it. I've just recently returned from a spiritual retreat on the theme of time, and we came away with a clear message that we should be making the most of each moment. Sometimes we fill our days with what's trivial and time-consuming, and we leave out those things which ought to be important to us. So does God figure in our lives at all, as one of our priorities? And what are our priorities? Bob Gass, in his Word for Today series, says, we have to keep our lamps lit with the fire of the Holy Spirit, renew our minds with God's Word, pray without ceasing, rejoice at all times and love one another as he loves us. Most of all, we are to be continually aware that we are Christ's bride, a reflection of his name, his nature and glory on earth. Jesus, in his parable of the 10 bridesmaids, tells us that only 5 out of 10 bridesmaids were actually welcomed into the banquet. These were the ones who were ready and waiting for his arrival with their lamps lit. The other 5, the foolish ones who were unprepared and who hadn't brought enough oil for their lamps, were locked out when the groom arrived. So let's listen to a song which tells that parable from my album Pearls of Great Price. It's called The Parable of the 10 Bridesmaids.
10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the groom. 5 of them were sensible, the rest left their brains at home. The wise ones brought their flasks of oil, for they were bright and keen. The other 5 were unprepared, and no oil could be seen. Don't delay, watch and pray, get ready today. So the drowsy maiden slept. But when he came, 5 trimmed their lamps, and the foolish maids all wept. Oh, won't you share your oil with us? Up went the mighty shout. 'Cause if you don't, we'll miss the feast. Our lamps are going out. Don't delay, watch and pray, get ready today. He's on his way. Said you knew it would be so. You should have brought some extra oil. To the dealers you must go. They ran off to the dealer's house, while the others all stayed put. And when the foolish ones returned, the door to the feast was shut.
That day when the king arrives, it says in our reading today, it will come like a thief in the night, at a time when we least expect it, and we mustn't be caught unawares. So let's listen to a drama for a change this morning called Bill and Ben, the Burglar Men. Let me set the scene. Walking onto the stage, we have Bill and Ben, 2 burglars, wearing black masks, dark trousers and striped jumpers. Bill is composing a letter, while Ben settles down to read his newspaper. But he becomes more and more concerned with Ben's letter.
What are you up to now, Bill? What are you doing?
I'm writing a letter to Mr. and Mrs. City Batome.
That doesn't say City Batome, that says Side Bottom.
Well, that's what they call themselves. I know them well.
Oh, just get on with it. I'm going to read my newspaper.
Okay. Dear Mr. and Mrs. City Batome, I'm just writing to inform you that my mate Ben and I are planning to burgle your house next week. We try and make it Wednesday night, or possibly Thursday, round about 1 o'clock in the morning. If, however, your lights are on, we'll know you're still up, so we'll wait until we're absolutely certain you're safely tucked up in bed. Then you can rest assured we'll be as quiet as mice, and we'll try not to disturb you both.
What are you playing at?
Hang on, I'm nearly finished. There's no need to worry, we'll try not to make too much mess, but if at all possible, could you leave a fair bit of money lying around? Put your valuables where we can easily reach them, preferably not in the room where you'll be asleep. That is, if you don't mind. That would make our job a whole lot easier.
I don't believe it.
If this is an inconvenient time for us to play a call, could you perhaps suggest an alternative date? You can contact us at the above address. Yours sincerely, Bill and...
Are you stupid or what? We're not supposed to let anyone know when we're coming. We're burglars. We do our job when people least expect it. And we certainly...
Ow!
Don't...
Ah!
Tell...
Ah!
People...
Off.
Our names and where we live.
Thank you, Andrew, for helping me with that drama. Understand this, says our reading today. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The prophet Micah writes, "What does the Lord require of you?" And he answers that we must act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Our next hymn has this to say: Have mercy, Lord. Forgive us. Restore us. Let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Revive us, we pray. It's O Lord, the Clouds Are Gathering by Graham Kenrick.
Clouds are gathering, the fire of judgment burns. How we have fallen, O Lord. You stand upon to see your laws of love so scorned, and life so broken. Have mercy, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Restore us, Lord. Revive your church again. Let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never failing stream. Oh Lord, over the nations now, where is the dove of peace? The wings are broken. Children starve, the tools of war increase, their bread is stolen. Have mercy, Lord, forgive us, Lord. Restore us, Lord, revive your church again. Let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never failing stream. Oh Lord, dark powers are poised to flood our streets with hate and fear. We must awaken, oh Lord. Let love reclaim the lives that sin would sweep away, and let your King Lord, forgive us, Lord. Restore us, Lord. Revive your church again. Let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never failing stream.
As a child, I saw a film about Noah, and I remember being horrified by the closing of the doors of the ark. Those who were inside were safe, while those left outside perished in the rising flood waters, and I wanted to shout out, "Let them in!" But they'd actually been given enough time to repent of their evil ways, and had proven to be false and stubborn. There actually was a cut-off time. Luke gives more detail when he returns to this same theme in chapter 17, where he tells us that Christ's return will be the same as those days of Noah. He says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. So the king is on his way. How do we get ready? How do we watch? Here's a song by Robin Mark called Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call.
Here's a poem prayer by a friend of mine called Carol Dixon. God, we are waiting, waiting for your coming into our lives. God, we are expecting, hoping to see you at work in the world. Give us patience to keep on waiting, hoping and working for the coming of your kingdom through Jesus our Lord, born as a baby in Bethlehem, living, dying and rising, reigning with you and the Holy Spirit, bringing us life and love and peace, this day and every day, to the end of time. You know, when Christians meet together for worship, they stand and recite what they believe. And these statements of belief are known as the Creed. And within it are these words: one day he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Let's listen once again to Graham Kendrick in a song which outlines what Christians believe about Christ's return to earth. It's called We Believe.
Every tongue confess.
angels at Jesus' ascension into heaven promised in Acts 1:11, "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Do we simply pay lip service to this in our creed, or do we believe it to be true? When Jesus returns to earth, not only will he come as King in great glory and majesty, he will also come as our judge. Our final song, "O Praise the Name," sings of his return in robes of white with the blazing sun piercing the night. When he comes, will he find us ready to receive him? This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick wishing a speedy recovery to all hospital patients listening in this morning. Do have a good week, everyone. Andrew, say bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord, oh Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven